like we're on a talk show now. Like, this must be how those people feel. I'm so grateful that you guys would come and hang out with us today. We're talking all about purpose. And before we get into the topic of purpose, I want to ask you, maybe you could introduce yourself and then tell us what you are currently doing right now. Jenna, you go for it.
I'm not the kind of personality at all to go first, right? We'll label it that, assertive, mm-hmm. not bossy. Mm-hmm. My name is Jenna Zint, and I have two children, and I've been married almost 9 years. I like to round up. My husband rounds down. If you ask him, it's 8 years. Like, we are way closer to May than we aren't. So,
yes.
Anyways, and then I own a business 4.5 years now called Turbans for Tots, and we have about 11 employees. So we have not about, we have 11.
Someone's getting fired this weekend.
Awkward.
11 employees. Amazing.
And I'm Richard Gordon. I'm originally from South Africa, so that's my accent. And I'm a revival group pastor at the BSSM School of Supernatural Ministry. And I'm also an entrepreneur and engineer.
Entrepreneur. And engineer. We got you.
It's that accent.
We love that accent. I'm Jody Hanna. I've been married for 20 years, and I have two kids. And I really got my start in Los Angeles. I moved there at 17, started directing, producing, had my own company at 19, having music videos that were going on MTV, BET, and VH1. Since I've gone on to produce two feature films, numerous television shows. Most recently, we're on our fifth year of the Lombardi Honors that have gone on ESPN and CBS. And so I'm, passionate about entertainment.
I love it.
I am Ben Cunnington. I am married to this one. And we've been married almost 13 years. Round up. Normally I would round down, probably. Have 4 kids. And have just been on a journey of finding those different seasons of purpose and assignments. And right now I'm working in media as well. Not like you, but doing video editing and video producing videos and in technology. And it's exciting. It's fun.
It is.
And we're on a journey.
No, it's so true. It is interesting when it comes to purpose. We've been talking all day about purpose and the idea of finding out why you were created and why you exist. But, I'm curious, life is so unique and there's so many seasons. And Jody, I know you were in LA, you were living there, and then God brought you up here as a season of rest. And we've talked about in our last session about winter, spring, summer, and fall. And I'm curious if it was a season of rest and how that was really, how'd you honor that season?
Yeah, I'm one of those people that's just been driven from day one. I've known my purpose, a lot of my friends and family were the opposite of me. And I've really come to see that what I thought was a gift at a young age was actually at so many points in my life, my greatest challenge because, it's full of detours. And that resistance is really what creates the capacity to walk in the promise, right? You get the revelation of the promise, but then from point A to point B is the life journey where you walk it out.
So true.
Oh, so it's like those moments of resistance where you're like, why is this happening to me? Why am I not hitting the goals? Or why am I not, why is this not happening? It's really where you're building the muscle for the strength to have, the foundation for what it's going to take to actually successfully walk it out.
True.
So my journey prior to coming up here was just, I finally got burned out. And, you talk about the seasons. I came from Beverly Hills where it's like always in bloom, right? It's excess to the max. And I came up here in the dead of winter and I just remember standing on the front porch. We have a farmhouse out in the country and there wasn't a leaf on the tree. And I'm like, oh, I need winter so bad right now. Like I just need barrenness because it somehow just connected with what was in my heart and my soul. And so I really did kind of hibernate and I got, I had very little capacity. Being so high capacity to little capacity, but I had to retreat. I had to retreat in order to almost have a rebirth and to be able to now go into what I'm, like this whole new season of my life that I'm going into now.
It's incredible. And you are so gifted, but it is really beautiful. I remember us having conversations about that. I just need the space. I need the space to think and dream and be. I really love that. Jenna, I'm curious. I know you worked for Jesus Culture and then you got married, or you were married, I assume, in the middle of all that. Yep. And now, then you started Turbans for Tots. Did you feel like that was your purpose when you started it? Like, how did you start a company? Was it intentional?
Yeah. I was laughing because sometimes, so my company makes headbands and bows, and sometimes people are like, oh, I've never met someone who's so passionate about bows. And I'm like, I'm not passionate about bows. Like, that's cool. Like, I make bows. Yeah. But I feel like I probably am different where I'm not someone that has felt like I have a clear purpose, like a calling. I just know, like, what I'm good at. It makes me come alive. So I've just done it in different seasons. And that's when I feel most, like, great, in lane with what I'm supposed to do is when I've, like, connected with, like, who am I now? Like, I have to be Jenna here. So, like, there's elements, like, of being Banning's assistant that were, like, amazing. Got to go to Australia, like, travel around the world and do all these fun things. But then there was hard parts where, like, when we were, I remember this one time I was working for him. It was our big event in Chicago. And we prepped for it for so long. And Reinhard Bonnke was speaking and, like, Banning's really cool. Like, he cultivates, like, the whole team had, like, prayed into it for months, so, like, super excited about it. And then the night of him speaking, I had to go do their laundry instead of listening. And I was around the corner in this, like, sketchy laundromat. And I was, like, folding. I remember, I'm not even joking, I was folding his little son's socks. And I was, like, I had a bad attitude. I was, like, throwing them in the basket. And I was, like, God, this is not what this season's supposed to look like. And he's, like, oh, really? Because this season is about you learning to serve. And if you actually don't change your attitude, you're going to miss what is in this season for you. And then you won't get the next. Like, you won't move on till you learn this. And it's so funny because there's, like, I did adjust my heart. I stopped throwing socks. But yeah, so anyways, then I transitioned. Then they, like, we got pregnant and we thought that I would keep working with them. And they decided that was when they wanted to move. And I literally was like, what the heck, God? Like, who's going to hire an 8-month pregnant woman, like, right when she's going to, like, well, I don't know what my capacity will be, like, next when I have this baby. So I was like, that was frustrating figuring out whether we're going to move with them. And then, so that is actually when I started my company, is because I'm not someone who, like, I don't do powerlessness. Like, so not on purpose. I've just really, if I encounter a no or a wall, I'm like, okay, well, that might not work, but what could work? So I just don't get deterred very much. Yep. Like, I've just kind of realized that's a pattern of who I am. So anyways, I tried working part-time and it just wasn't making ends meet. So I was like, what else could I do? Like, what side hustle can I, like, come up with so that we could make revenue and income? And then it started with, like, the bows, and then the Lord, like, one of my, I, like, pinned something on Pinterest and it went, like, low-level viral. So literally the first month went from, like, $60 to a couple $1,000s and it just kept doubling. And so it's totally the Lord, but, like, there's so many things now as a business owner that I can, like, mark to learning in my season of serving Banning. Like, I was like, oh, I totally got, like, that you actually can't please everybody in that season, you know? And it would probably have killed me and killed my profit if I kept trying to please everybody, you know? So there's just,
such a good point,
like, core things that I'm really glad that I had that to prep me.
And it is fun being in your world because we get to do life together and just hearing your, yeah, you don't take yourself too seriously. And I think that's really what makes your purpose so unique, is sometimes when we take ourselves so seriously, it sucks the joy out of it. And it's, nobody wants to be around you.
It's actually funny because I remember doing this exercise with a mentor about what my core value was. And we walked away with, my core value was fun. And I was like, that can't be a core value. It's like loyalty, like peace, responsibility, like those are core values. But she really helped me break it down. Like, no, like you actually like to bring life. And
yep,
you, like the joy of the Lord is actually like a strength of who you are. So you've actually made this shallow when it's not shallow. And it's super biblical. And like, yeah, so that brought me a lot of freedom.
I love
like,
it.
Oh, that can be a core value.
You know, it's interesting. Obviously, Ben is my husband, but we've got to do life for over a decade together. And, you know, when we first met you, you were doing worship and you were on staff at a church and you were doing that. And then now you film all of our videos and edit and color correct. Like, woo! And all of our marketing. And I mean, you run all of that. And I'm curious if you could maybe talk a little bit about assignments versus the call and the purpose, because I know that can feel, was it a letdown that you weren't doing worship anymore? And then how did you learn a new skill in the middle of it all?
No, that's a great question.
Thank you.
I was, you're such a good question asker. Yeah. I will try to answer it the best I can. No, I think I was sitting here thinking about just, you know, what we talked about the different kinds of dreamers and, you know, me being more of that compliant dreamer, where I think things really, I think, become awakened to me from other people who have these grand visions, right? Or these, you know, visionaries and like, so at the time, yes, you know, my season and my assignment was, you know, I was on staff at IHOP, and I was a missionary and a musician full time, and I thought that was like, I'm gonna do this forever. I felt like this is like, I really came alive. And what you talked about, where I actually got to get paid to learn new skills, So the job I was doing, which I was excited about it, but yeah, it really was a learning curve where I felt like, ooh, I don't totally know what I'm doing here. And that is a good place to be in. It's a, you know, it's a humbling place. It's a place of where you're sowing and you're serving and you're learning. And then, yes, it's obviously over the past 5 years, it's led me to, you know, again, it's like, I still don't really know what I'm doing. You know, you feel like, I feel more comfortable not knowing what I'm doing. Maybe that's what it is, right? And so it's, but yeah, it's a journey. And I think one thing that really has helped me was just knowing that I think call, purpose, all that stuff, I think I've not been the type of person either where I'm like, I know exactly what I'm called to do for the rest of my entire life, and I'm just going to do that. But I think there's been seasons, or I would say, where my assignments change, which is like what I'm doing, right? Like who I am is not what I do. Who we are is not what we do. But those assignments can come and go and change, and that's important.
So true. And you and I, we always say like, what we do together is like what I do when I'm on the road and I call him, I'll say, this is how many people were impacted and this is what we did together. And there's really this sense of partnership that I think is really key when it comes to purpose with each other and in relationships, when we start to see that we couldn't have done this without each of us being involved, whether we get one of us gets the praise or one of us doesn't. It's really about
that
connection.
It's like the puzzle example, right? It's like, you know, I'm this puzzle piece here, and you're here, and we're here, and we're connected, and we're both playing different roles.
And I think we're both shocked that this is how our life turned out. Don't you think?
For sure.
Because we did not, I want you guys to know, I didn't set out to be a speaker.
I thought I was going to be a pro baseball player. I don't know what happened.
That's true. And I was going to be a model.
So close.
That's the resistance.
But we didn't set out to be a pasta. Exactly. Yeah. We set out to be, I was going to be at home with kids and Ben was going to be on staff at a church. And I mean, that was really our flow. And so even though what we're doing now, people go, how do you do what you're doing? And I go, I have no idea. It just fell into place as we began to obey God. And we may not do this forever and it might shift. And so I always say like the call of God has to be something that comes in and out of your life. But if you hold on to it, God will have to pry your hand off of things. And so you don't want God to pry. What is your biggest obstacle when it comes to fulfilling the purpose of God for you? Like what's the thing that you find is just one of the biggest obstacles that you face on a day-to-day basis?
I saw Jesus grew in favor with man and he grew with favor with God. And so the way that God grew Jesus was through favor. And so I find like as the favor of God increases and the favor of man increases, my biggest obstacle is actually how I see myself. And so man might start seeing me a certain way and I might start having favor with man. And, you know, there's incredible people on this panel. And so I start maybe having favor with man and then God might start giving me favor. But actually I've found that I need to come in alignment with what they actually see over me. And when the three collide, it's dynamic. It's like, that's the explosive. And I found my journey is coming into alignment with what he says about me.
Such
and then
point.
What the favor that I'm walking with, man. And when those three favors hit, oh.
Well, yes. Can I speak to that for a second? Because I think that is so huge. And I think the human journey of any achievement, honestly, whatever achievement you're going after, I think it's just filled with seasons of that. Right? Like, so you might go through a season where it's like you're riddled with fear or lack of confidence or identity, seeing yourself the way that God sees you, or really buying into who God is saying. I mean, I'm a writer now. I never saw myself as a writer. When my friends, my LA friends, they were like, okay, first of all, we just want to let you know you're a writer, because I sent out a lot of stuff for them to read. I started crying. I'm like, I don't need one more business card, you know? And it took me years to go, oh yeah, I'm a writer. But I had to transition into that. And so I just think being sensitive to what it is that is being highlighted in your life, I think that is so good what you said.
Yeah.
And really, what's on the other side of that alignment is transformative. And I think that's really where your purpose is able to take life.
Yes.
And it's true, because it rarely looks like what you think it's going to look like. I think I would have missed so much, or just because like she was saying, like you have these ideas and then I'm like, oh, but I am doing this, but it's totally not what I thought it was look like. So don't get stuck on your picture, because rarely I feel like our picture, his picture.
So true. So. And what you're saying too is the constraints when you're younger are actually your real limitations. But when you grow and develop, the constraints then turn to what we see is possible versus what we really can pull off, right? So all of a sudden we get older and we realize it's not a money issue. It's really the issue is the constraints internally. It's not externally anymore, right?
Totally, 100%.
Well said.
No, I was just gonna say, probably that would be my biggest obstacle is like, yeah, how I viewed myself, you know, how, you know, my, fear or insecurity or lack of confidence, you know, kind of ebbing and flowing at different times, but where I'm actually, you know, coming into alignment with, you know, how God sees me, that I actually am capable, and that, you know, yeah, that season of, you know, again, a personality type, I'm veering towards the perfectionistic side, so I am my biggest critic. So that's probably my biggest hindrance or limitation is me. Really.
Welcome.
Can I share a little story? I remember coming into the school of ministry and they started talking about this type of stuff. And they started saying like, actually what you're saying, that's the biggest hindrance. That's the wall. That's the lie that you're believing. And I remember there was this little activity that they got us to do where they said, I want you to confess what you think the lie is about yourself. No, I want you to ask God what you think the lie is about yourself and then ask him what the truth is.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, this is just one of these little activities we're gonna do, you know, cute, and then get in front of the crowd or the room of 70 it was at the time, and I want you to speak it out loud. And I for some reason I was sweating.
Yep.
For some reason I was so nervous. For some reason it took all of me. I was the last person, or maybe second to last person of the group of 70 to go forward. And I remember the lie in my head was that I would struggle financially, and that that the more influential I got, the more complicated my life would become.
Wow.
And I was petrified of influence, and I was actually petrified of finances. And I remember the Lord said to me, he said, you're going to carry financial miracles, and you're going to be a voice to a generation. So then the pastor's like, okay, now you should say it out loud. I'm like, nah, I can't do that. I remember screaming this thing out loud, and then the room started celebrating me. But there's something that happens when we come into alignment with what we believe. It releases something in the natural. I remember 8 hours later, I got contacted by Bloomberg in New York for a senior position as a government analyst on when the government sector would change, how it would impact the financial sector.
Yeah.
And so what happened is I made a declaration over a Goliath in my life, which was the lie that I would run out of money, and the lie that the more influential I became, the more complicated my life was.
Yeah.
And I said, I made a declaration, it sent a frequency throughout, and then it came back with natural favor from one of the most influential financial companies. So it was just
brilliant.
Just crazy that I think the more and more I look at it, the more we come into alignment with what he says about us, that's a key unto our destiny.
Yeah, I do too.
I just want to say, because I think that's so good, and there's been a lot said here that is so good. But, you know, purpose, I think there's something about connecting with that core purpose, the core value, like you said, because purpose never, it's not stagnant. Purpose really is alive. It's breathing, and it will be for eternity, right? So, okay, so my core purpose might be, I believe God can do extraordinary things through media. Yours is this thing about fun and probably connectivity with people. I mean, you just seem to do that so well. You know, all the different core values that we have. But I almost think it's, in like what you said about holding on tight, God has to pry your fingers off of. There's something about learning to surf the waves of life and purpose. So you're always waiting for like the next, even that glory to glory. You know, there's always more. Right? The angels are learning more. There's never a stopping point for us. And I think that purpose will always continue to thrive and develop as we can just ride the waves of its development coming from God into our lives.
Yeah. It's so true. I remember thinking recently, I wish that I hadn't resisted change so much in my life. Because if I had embraced it, I probably would have enjoyed the seasons better. And I think as I've gotten older, it's like, I think before I'd be like, but I want this to happen, and I want to be here, and I want to do this. And now I'm realizing it's always about alignment. He's always aligning us into the right moments, and what we feel like is resistance is really his like presence is moving us. And so I told Ben recently, I was like, I just want to get better and better at change. And when things happen, because I don't like change. I like things to be normal. I like to eat at the same place. And my husband's like, my kids are like, we have to eat there again. I'm like, I know exactly what I want. I think I traveling as a kid. I travel for my living. I'm always on the go. I like my normal things. I like my people. I like my things. And but I just said, I want to just not resist so much. Just resist even internally that for protection of like, or be on alert. I want to just, it's all about alignment. I'm not going to get fearful or worry about my purpose somehow getting off. It's not off. It's just being realigned. Jenna, are you going to stay with what you're doing? Do you feel like I'm in my purpose? Or do you feel like I almost want to say fulfillment of purpose do you feel like right now in the middle of the success? Or do you feel less successful than you thought you would have in the middle of it? Or do you feel like more successful in the middle of it?
I think I know that I'll always do something else. Like, I'm just not a stagnant person either. So I know there'll be something after this and before this. But I think the parts that I love the most and feel the most successful are the parts about my core values. So even connectedness, like I'm actually like have thousands of mom friends around the world because of my business.
You
like
do.
Personal notes, actually connecting like seed by customers. And it's funny how like the sewing, making bows is not my purpose. Like, I know it sounds funny. I actually learned how to sew to start the business. I didn't know how to sew before. I got a 13-year-old to teach me on my 27th birthday, too. That was the only day. So I had a newborn on her bed. It was very glamorous. But so anyways, just realizing that, like, oh, like, that it's cool and fun, everything that's happening, like sales growing every month, having more employees, that's really fun. But the thing that makes me most come alive is the, like, connecting with moms and even just, like, I'm a huge gift love language person. And like, I get to give free stuff all the time. And generosity is a huge part of my business. It was never on purpose, but because it's my core value, I can't help but live it out. Like, and it's funny how like the Lord showed me this. I'm not bragging, because I was like, oh, like, I feel like one of my successes have been because I'm so generous with my company. And the Lord's like, but you never, it wasn't, I actually kind of was like, was I being manipulative? Like, did I try to give people stuff to make them like me? And he's like, no, you were just being you. And it came out through this, like what you're currently doing in this season.
Yes.
And then it actually has, like, I've reaped the benefit. It wasn't on purpose. I wasn't trying to manipulate people. So just really realizing that, like, as I stay true to, like, what makes me come alive, it'll look, you know, it'll be different jobs, but I'm still, like, my three core values are still the same, regardless of what I'm doing.
And your core values are so key. I mean, you had an opportunity to go on Shark Tank, and you said, I don't want to do it because I don't want to change the way that my life is, and I want to, and I think that's grounded in core values. That's not grounded in performance. That's like, I actually like the rhythm of my life.
It's funny because I feel like now I've gotten to the point where it's not looking like I thought it would be. Like, okay, like, instead of just being, oh, this is failing or whatever, be like, okay, what are you doing? Because maybe I'm just not seeing, like, that's so often, like, I'm not seeing it. It looks like failure or it looks like it's not working out, but like, you're always doing something. So what are you doing? So I can align and connect with that. So I had this season like 2 years ago where our sales went down by like 40%. It was a few months. And like, I remember the first month and I'm like, oh my gosh, it's all ending. This is it. It was luck anyways. Like, I remember thinking that, like, so it's ending. And the Lord was like, yeah, totally. The Lord was like, actually, I want you to rest and I want you to get your systems down really well, because the next, when it picks back up, there's going to be a huge increase that would like crush your current systems. So like, and we did. We like rested and we got our systems really aligned. And then like 4 or 5 months later, like we've grown 70% every year since that. Like, so it's huge. But it's just, if I had missed and just looked like it was failing, I wouldn't have actually been prepared for the next season.
And you said that to me once, and that was that I've held on to. Like, you told me that story, and I've held on to that so many times when things slow down. It's always about preparation for the next season of growth. It's never about things being lost. Like, it's not scarcity, it's abundance. I'm curious, what are your top three core values that you would live by in your life, and what you feel like are something that's grounded you? I know you guys have kind of mentioned it a little, and they don't have to be like set in stone. You can change them tomorrow. But I'm just saying, like, off the top of your head, what would be maybe three of your core values that you would live by right now?
Take it. I can think of, I think belief is important to me, you know, actually believing in what I do, you know. Like this, I just thought of the Strength Finder, like that's one of my top strengths is belief. And so as long as I can believe in it, then I can get excited to do it.
Yeah, so true.
In, you know, or yeah, whether it's what I'm doing for a job or whether it's just, yeah, family activities or whatever, or my, you know, my family stuff. Another core value I think would be responsibility.
Yes.
I don't know why I'm going down my strength fighter things.
Let me say, if I want him to do something and he doesn't want to do it, I'll say, well, I don't know if you want to, if you want to look irresponsible. He's like, I'm on it. I'm
okay,
on
okay.
it.
Okay, okay. Yeah, so I think, I feel a real sense of ownership of when it comes to like being responsible and really like doing a good job. And that's a core value. So I don't know. You guys can jump in.
You know, I haven't done a lot of soul searching on my core values. I should. I mean, I think family's a really big one. Yep. Belief is a really big one. Yeah, exactly. I know. My homework.
I now know what to do.
But I think another one that just, I think just consumes me all the time is innovation.
Yes.
Because I just
love that.
I just believe God's so extraordinarily out of the box, and he's about to come and have a whole new conversation and really unveil himself in a whole new way. So I'm constantly fueled by that.
Love that. I'm going to take that.
It's yours.
Done.
I like innovation. Me too. I really like that. I'm probably a belief guy too. I believe that people rise to the level that you believe in them. And yes. So I've got a business too. And so I started thinking like, what if, you know, as a pastor, we see people go from good to great by applying certain core values and principles. Not what you do, but it's what you get them to believe about themselves and how you apply core values. And so I thought to myself, well, what if I apply the same things to a business? Could it go from good to great? And I started applying the same things that we do to a BSSM yes. student, a Bethel student, to see them go from good to great. And I started doing to a business and started seeing different fruit, profitability, connections. And I was like, oh, this stuff works. I was like, wow.
Wait a minute.
Wow, it doesn't just work on the people. So belief is a big one for me. People will rise to the level you believe in them. Your business will rise to the level you believe in it.
Yeah.
And then for me, love. Like, I think love is the highest authority.
Come
you know,
on.
For God so loved the world that he sent his only son, his level of love impacted the whole world.
Yeah.
And so for me, I believe that the level that you love is the level that you'll have authority.
Love
so
that.
I, you know, people say don't fall in love with your work. I'm actually like fall in love with what you do.
Yes.
Absolutely love it with everything that you like, love what you do. And you'll have more authority in that realm.
Amen.
Same with my wife. And so I just love it.
Well said. What about you, Jenna? What's your core value? Fun.
To unpack it, I remember like being younger and just like when I'd have encounters with the Lord, he'd just be so funny and like literally be goofy and do things. And I realized that like if I like that is how like the Lord's going to or the world is going to encounter the Lord through me is like his fun side, because that actually doesn't. Like, that doesn't get portrayed a ton. And, like, so not feeling embarrassed about it. I know it sounds silly, but I really did feel embarrassed about it for a while. And then also, like, community. I feel really strongly about, we're not supposed to do this alone. My marriage is better if I have people in my life, like, speaking into me, feedback. And then with my parent better, I'm a better person. So I have a really strong value for that. And then I would say my other thing is not being powerless. Like I see so often, so many of my friends who maybe aren't living out their purpose is they've put their power down for just, and it looks like an assortment of things, but I'm like, oh, like the only reason you can't is because you think you can't, or you've let this thing tell you can't. Like maybe it doesn't look like A, B, C, like, but what about this way? So I'm very inventive with like, no, like I still get to be Jenna. Maybe I don't get to be this over here, but maybe I can do it over here. So like just holding on to my power all the time kind of.
I love that. And I've seen that in your life as well. You know, I would say my core values are definitely authenticity would probably be one of mine. And then, just showing up as authentically me. A family would be very key in my world right now. And then I want to say fun, but I'm going to hold back.
Already taken.
I had another one, but I can't remember. Probably memory. No, I was kidding. It's very important to me that I remember my core values. But you know, it always changes and ebbs and flows, but I really think it's beautiful. We're out of time, but I just want to thank you guys for investing in our community and those that are here. And, you know, you each bring something really special and to the conversation. And I really love that investment. So thank you so much. And go find some purpose. No. Bye. That's right.